Eddie, the Junior Year. Chapter 1. Autumn Semester, Part 2. Over the next few days, Kathy works out with a vengeance. Eddie, quite surprised at Kathy's energy level, keeps up with her. Mark and Paula occasionally join them. Kathy's ear infection has cleared up, which is good news. She still, however, has a few more days of antibiotics left to take. Kathy and her father are keeping the pool in tip-top shape. They are both convinced that firing the pool guy was a good decision. And the icing on the cake is that Mr. Crum has not shown his ugly head recently. Since it's autumn, Eddie and Kathy assume Mr. Crum is too busy harassing Mr. Moreno and the football team. Eddie and Kathy work out again together on the following Saturday, but Kathy is taking it a little easy. Eddie asks her, "What happened to all the fire you had last week?" Kathy replies, "My stomach has been feeling like hammered shit. My mother called the doctor, and he said it was from the antibiotic. He said that it was common. In 4 more days, I'm done with that stupid pill. I can't wait." Eddie asks, "Is there anything that helps?" Kathy replies, "Not that I've found." "Well, that's not true. Sleeping helps because, when I'm asleep, I don't know I feel like crap." Eddie mentions, "We can do something else if you want." Kathy tells him, "No. That's okay. I'm doing this, even though I'm not a 10 today." They continue their workout, but Kathy is obviously not herself today. After the workout, Eddie asks, "Is there anything special that you want to do this afternoon?" Kathy replies, "Yeah. Let's get pizza, and then go float around in my pool. Now that the water is fixed, I really want to go in the pool. It's going to be cold someday soon, so we won't be able to." Kathy and Eddie drive to the pizzeria where they get pizza. Kathy eats slowly, not knowing how her stomach is going to react. She makes it through lunch today without any problem, which is good news. They then head to Kathy's house, so they can go in the pool for a swim. When they arrive, they sit by the pool for a while. Kathy asks Eddie, "Can we check the pool water before we go in?" Kathy is not taking any chances. She already got one ear infection from the pool. She certainly doesn't want to get another one. Eddie and Kathy check the skimmers for dead frogs, not really expecting to find any. Kathy proudly announces, "Awesome. No dead frogs today." Today, Eddie lets Kathy check the pool water. Kathy checks the water and tells Eddie, "The pH is 7.3 and the chlorine is 2.2 to 2.4. It looks good to me." Eddie tells her, "Hey, you're getting good at this." Eddie tells Kathy, "It's also a good thing to look at the walls and the bottom of the pool. If there's any algae growing on it, it needs to be brushed and algicide needs to be put in." Since everything looks good, they get in the water. Eddie and Kathy float in the water for a few minutes. After a while, Kathy assumes her favorite position while in the pool, putting her legs around Eddie's waist and her arms around his neck. Kathy looks at Eddie and sings her song to him, "The Power of Love." When she is done, Kathy lays her head on Eddie's shoulder, telling him, "Everything is going to be okay now." Eddie tells her, "Every time you sing your song, it gets more beautiful." Kathy embraces her sweetie as they hug each other tightly. Kathy then whispers to Eddie, "Please don't ever let me go." Eddie replies, "I won't." Kathy and Eddie float around the pool for quite a while. With her head on Eddie's shoulder, Kathy starts crying. Before Eddie could say anything, Kathy tells him, "I just love you so much. I really, really do." Eddie embraces Kathy and tells her, "Oh, sweetie. I love you, I love you, I love you." They hug each other tightly, both feeling something very special that day. When they get out of the pool, they sit and relax, sharing a chaise lounge meant for one person. With her head on Eddie's shoulder, Kathy tells him, "I remember the first time I saw you run. I knew you were special, even back then. Eddie mentions that was during indoor track, almost 2 years ago. Kathy tells him, no, actually it wasn't. Surprised, Eddie asks, no. Then when was it? In gym class. Kathy replies with a long drawn out, no. Eddie asks, on the road somewhere. Kathy again replies, no. Eddie tells Kathy, okay, Katerina Karakova. I can tell that you're up to something. I give up. Kathy asks, well, aren't you going to ask me when it was? Eddie replies, okay, when was it? Kathy explains to Eddie, it was when you were in middle school. You guys were running against Centerville. You ran like a 10-second 100-yard dash that day. Mr. Fraser was really impressed. You and Mark were faster than the high school's best sprinter. Eddie exclaims, asking, you were there? Kathy replies, yeah. I was there for the whole meet. Eddie asks, what were you doing there? Kathy tells him, I was working with Mr. Fraser. I was taking names and times for him. I remember that, after the 100-yard dash, you just walked away and talked to the shot put guy. Eddie remarks, yeah, Bobby B. Kathy tells Eddie, you guys looked like you were having so much fun that day. Kathy goes on, saying, and then, there was your 4x440 relay team. You guys ran a better time than the high school's 4x440 relay team. Mr. Fraser couldn't believe it. Every one of you guys broke 60 seconds in the quarter mile. Eddie replies, wow. We were wondering if we'd even make the team when we got to high school. Kathy tells Eddie, you guys made the team after that meet with Centerville. Kathy then mentions, when we drove back to the high school after the meet, Mr. Fraser kept asking me if he was dreaming. Kathy tells Eddie, I tried to find the time to say hi to you back then, but either you were busy, or I was busy working. Then, when you got to high school, our paths never really crossed until track. Well, and your gym class? Eddie asks, my gym class. Kathy, who is almost giggling, replies, yeah. You guys played football just like a game of kill the man with the ball. I had a bird's eye view. It was the last period of the day, and we were in Mr. O'Brien's social studies class. That class was so boring. Watching your gym class kept a lot of us sane. Surprised at Kathy's recollection of his gym class, Eddie comments, I didn't know we had an audience. Kathy replies, oh yeah. Your gym class had an audience whenever you guys were out there. Oh, and the funniest thing ever was when someone asked, if we finish the test early, can we go stand by the window and watch the football game? And, oh boy, was Mr. O'Brien ever ticked off about that? Eddie tells Kathy, wow. If we knew we had an audience, we would have waved. Eddie then remarks, wow. That was more than 2 years ago when that happened. Kathy sighs and whispers, and here we are. I'm a senior, and you're a junior. We're on the same track team, running side by side with each other in the same races. Eddie asks, does that make you happy? Kathy whispers to Eddie, yes, it does. I am very happy, Edward Boganskaya. I am very happy. Eddie and Kathy enjoy the rest of the day together out by the pool. Since their families are eating dinner together tonight, Kathy and Eddie will get to spend the whole day together. By midweek, Kathy no longer has to take her antibiotic. Her ear infection is cleared up, but she gets word that another problem is brewing. The rumor around school is that Kathy's car is not street legal, and that the Porsche 914 she drives is a racing car. This is all Mr. Crumb needs to hear to begin an investigation. He gathers as much information as he can during the week, puts it together, and, as usual, comes to the wrong conclusion. On Monday, after the announcements, the school secretary announces over the loudspeaker, will Edward Boganskaya and Kathy Karakova please report to the administration office immediately? Miss Starr tells Eddie, "You two must have got caught holding hands in the hallway." Eddie replies, telling Miss Starr, "Or maybe my socks are too short." The class cracks up as Eddie stands up to leave. Miss Starr tells Eddie, "Good luck." On his way out, Eddie points to Chucky, telling him, "Shut up, Junior," before Chucky even has the chance to say anything. Eddie and Kathy meet in the administration office. Kathy asks Eddie, "What did we do?" Eddie replies, telling her, "I don't know. Miss Starr thinks we got caught holding hands." Kathy asks Mrs. Marlowe, the secretary, "How is it that we're here this time?" Mrs. Marlowe replies, "Mr. Crumb wants to see both of you." Eddie asks, "About what?" Mrs. Marlowe replies, "I'm really not allowed to say." Kathy tells Eddie, "Wow. It must be really, really bad." Eddie comments, "It can't be an overdue library book. I've never checked one out." Mr. Crumb opens the door to his office and says, "Both of you, get in here right now." The first thing Eddie and Kathy notice is that Mr. Shapiro, the assistant principal, is sitting in Mr. Crumb's office. Kathy looks at Eddie and says, "Wow. Isn't he grumpy today? Somebody must have pissed in his cornflakes." Mr. Crumb exclaims, "Don't think I didn't hear that, Miss Karakova." Mr. Crumb tells Kathy and Eddie, "Have a seat." As he sits down, Eddie mentions, "Wow. You haven't gotten a new desk yet. It's been what, almost a year now?" Mr. Crumb tells Eddie, "I've had enough out of you already, and I haven't even started." Eddie asks Mr. Crumb, "Does that mean we can go back to class now?" Mr. Crumb tells Eddie and Kathy, "You two just keep quiet and listen." Kathy comments, "Here we go again with your poor command of the English language." Mr. Shapiro, the assistant principal, sits back and listens to the heated introductory conversation between Mr. Crumb and the two students. Mr. Shapiro appears to be taking a few notes and is pretending to support Mr. Crumb. What is written on Mr. Shapiro's pad, however, is his grocery shopping list, having absolutely nothing to do with Mr. Crumb's meeting. Mr. Shapiro is perfectly happy to let Mr. Crumb dig his own hole or sink his own ship. If Mr. Crumb gets fired or demoted, Mr. Shapiro is next in line to take his position. Mr. Crumb announces, "Let me get right to the point." Kathy replies to Mr. Crumb with the highly sarcastic tribe trademark, "Waiting." Mr. Crumb begins his dissertation, telling Eddie and Kathy, "It has come to my attention that Kathy's car is not a street legal vehicle. It has also come to my attention that you, Edward Boganskaya, used the school's auto shop to make modifications to her car. The vehicle is also reported to me to be a racing car, which I simply cannot allow on school property. And using the school facilities in the way that you did is a clear violation of school policy." Eddie and Kathy, beyond a shadow of a doubt, know that Mr. Crumb is full of shit. Kathy whispers to Eddie, "Let's have some fun with this." Mr. Crumb exclaims, asking, "What did you just say to him?" Eddie tells Mr. Crumb, "She told me we just got busted." Mr. Crumb, whose confidence in his accusation has just risen to new heights, tells them, "Now, I'm going to get to the bottom of this." Kathy laughs and replies, "Waiting." Mr. Crumb asks Eddie, "How did you modify Kathy's car?" Eddie replies, "With a socket wrench set, a screwdriver, and a small hammer. I think I may have also used pliers at one point. Oh, and I used a valve spring compressor." Mr. Crumb tells Eddie, "Don't get smart with me, young man." Eddie replies, "Well, what exactly do you want to know?" Mr. Crumb instructs Eddie, "Tell me exactly what you did to Kathy's car." Eddie replies, "I replaced a valve, which I did at Angelo's service station. And while I was at it, I changed the oil, which I had to do since we opened up the engine. I also replaced the battery. Ask Angelo. He'll tell you." Mr. Crumb tells Eddie, "I can see that I'm not getting anywhere with you. I was expecting your full cooperation, and I can see that I'm not getting any. Kathy asks, "So, you're not getting any?" Mr. Crumb replies, "No, I'm not." Kathy replies, "That's sad. I'm so sorry. I can clearly see that." Mr. Shapiro has difficulty containing his laughter at Kathy's double entendre that flew right over Mr. Crumb's head. Kathy's comment will certainly make its way around the teacher's lounge later today. Mr. Shapiro is sure to tell someone by the end of the morning. Eddie tells Mr. Crumb, "Hey, why don't you just talk to Mr. Malik? He'll explain it all to you." Mr. Crumb tells them, "I might just do that." Kathy adds, "And Mr. Zunday too. Bring him back with you. He seems to always enjoy these meetings." Mr. Crumb whispers something to Mr. Shapiro, and Kathy exclaims, asking, "What did you just say to him?" Mr. Crumb shakes his head and tells Eddie and Kathy, "Don't go anywhere. Just sit right there." Eddie asks, "What if there's a fire drill?" Mr. Crumb dares not to respond to Eddie's sarcasm. Mr. Crumb leaves his office for a moment, taking Mr. Shapiro with him. While Mr. Crumb and Mr. Shapiro are away, Kathy tells Eddie, "Wow. His full of shit gauge is totally pegged." Eddie laughs and replies, "Yeah. I'd say so." Eddie and Kathy hear the announcement, "Mr. Malik, please report to the administration office. Mr. Harrison, please report to the auto shop." Kathy tells Eddie, "Wow. They sent the permanent sub to the shop." Eddie replies, "I guess we'll be here for a while." Kathy asks, "So, what do we do now?" Eddie suggests, "Well, we can just let Mr. Crumb make a fool out of himself, like he usually does. He's really good at that." Kathy replies, "Yeah. We'll let him self-destruct. You're right. He's really good at it." Mr. Crumb and Mr. Shapiro enter Mr. Crumb's office again, this time bringing Mr. Malik with them. Mr. Malik is at a loss to understand why he was called to Mr. Crumb's office. Mr. Zunday also walks in since two athletes are sitting in the principal's office. Mr. Zunday stands by the bookcase, waiting to see what flavor of free entertainment is in store for him today. Mr. Crumb asks Mr. Malik, "Can you please tell us what modifications were done to Kathy's car?" Mr. Malik replies, "I can try, but Eddie can probably explain it better than I can. The modifications made to Kathy's Porsche 914 were quite extensive." Thinking that he has Eddie pinned down, Mr. Crumb sits back in his chair and replies, "I can't wait to hear this." Mr. Crumb tells Eddie, "Okay, explain it to me, and cut the funny stuff." Eddie begins his dissertation, telling Mr. Crumb, "First of all, the engine is a six-cylinder fuel-injected 911 engine, and not a four-cylinder 914 engine. Second, the battery has been moved to the rear trunk of the vehicle." Kathy interjects, "That's so it won't have an engine fire." Eddie continues, "The suspension has been completely re-engineered. An active suspension was added to the front and rear. The stock wheels were replaced with alloy wheels." Eddie thinks for a moment. Kathy tells Eddie, "Oh, don't forget the brakes." Eddie continues, "Oh yeah. The brakes are upgraded. The brakes are Girling brakes, which are designed for racing cars." Mr. Crumb asks, "Anything else?" Kathy replies, "Yeah, I added a compass to the dashboard, and sometimes I'll hang one of my track medals from the rearview mirror." Eddie adds, "Yeah, that's right. And there are a few more things. If we put it up on the rack, I can show you." Mr. Crumb replies, "That won't be necessary." Kathy sarcastically mentions, "That's because you wouldn't know what you're looking at anyway." Mr. Crumb warns Kathy, "I don't need your sarcasm right now." Kathy replies, "Well, let's put my car up on the rack then. Let's see if you can show everyone where the hydraulic links are for the active suspension. Or maybe we'll start off with something easy and see if you can find the battery." Mr. Crumb tells Kathy, "That's enough out of you." Kathy replies, "Hey, I'm not the one that's having a shit fit here. Kathy has really had enough of Mr. Crumb. She knows she can get away with whatever she says, so she's going for it. Mr. Malik interrupts and asks Mr. Crumb, "May I ask what is the point of this exercise?" Mr. Zunday comments, "I'd like to hear the answer to that too." Mr. Crumb tells Mr. Zunday, "Mr. Zunday, I suppose that you are here because there are two athletes sitting in my office. But none of this concerns you." Mr. Zunday informs Mr. Crumb, "I'm quite sure that, when the dust clears, none of what is being discussed here concerns you either." Mr. Crumb exclaims, "Mr. Zunday, please let me get on with my meeting." Trying out the tribe's highly sarcastic innuendo, Mr. Zunday replies, "Waiting." Eddie and Kathy laugh, adding more fuel to the fire. Mr. Crumb tells Mr. Malik, "It is against school policy for a student to use the shop in the manner Eddie has." Mr. Malik, who is quite puzzled, asks Mr. Crumb, "What are you talking about?" Mr. Crumb informs Mr. Malik, "Eddie is not allowed to use the auto shop to make modifications to Kathy's car." Mr. Malik informs Mr. Crumb, "He didn't. I fail to see what the big deal is here." Mr. Crumb asks, "What do you mean by, he didn't?" Mr. Malik tells Mr. Crumb, "Exactly that. He didn't. Eddie didn't make those modifications to her car in the shop. In fact, Eddie didn't make those modifications at all." Mr. Crumb tells Mr. Malik, "Eddie must have done something to that car. But how would Mr. Crumb even know? He would not even take Kathy's challenge to find the battery." Eddie replies to Mr. Crumb's accusation, announcing to everyone, "You're right, Mr. Crumb. I did make modifications to Kathy's car in the auto shop. I removed the Holley carburetors, and I installed high-performance Azalea carburetors. I also put in stainless steel muffler bearings. The headlights were replaced with arc welder bulbs. And I freon-cooled the ball joints and steering rack. You wouldn't want the ball joints and the rack and pinion steering to overheat, now would you? Oh, and I almost forgot. I put high-performance air in the tires, which is a mixture of oxygen, carbon dioxide, and nitrogen. And that's just a start." Mr. Crumb exclaims, "See? I finally got it out of him. Eddie did modify that car." Eddie does not stop there. He goes on, making an offer to his principal, "Mr. Crumb, if you'd like, I might be able to move the dipstick in your car from your passenger compartment to the engine compartment." Mr. Crumb replies, "No. The dipstick will remain in my passenger compartment." Kathy, not missing a beat, remarks, "I guess that dipstick is going to be in the passenger compartment for a long, long time." Mr. Malik, who is trying not to laugh, tells Mr. Crumb, "Do you understand what Eddie just said?" Mr. Crumb replies, "Yes, I do. He admitted that he modified the car." Mr. Malik whispers to Mr. Crumb, "He just laid out so much bullshit in front of you that you'll need a fire hose to wash it away." Mr. Crumb, not knowing what to do next, asks Mr. Malik, "Then, explain to me what the issue is with Kathy's car." Mr. Malik tells Mr. Crumb, "I was curious and put it on the rack one day. The car is perfectly street legal. I understand that it was extensively modified by an engineer from Georgia Tech. The guy must have been a genius. Quite frankly, the modifications that were made to the 914 are far beyond anything I can understand. You really should put it up on the rack and take a look at it. It is an engineering masterpiece." Eddie adds, "Angelo was even amazed by the car." Mr. Crumb tells Mr. Malik, "I just cannot have students driving racing cars to school." Mr. Malik tells Mr. Crumb, "It's not a racing car. The Department of Motor Vehicles determines whether a car can be driven on the road or not. Private individuals, such as you or me, do not have the right to make that determination. Doing so may get you in legal trouble." The term legal trouble is all Mr. Crumb needed to hear to end today's witch hunt. Mr. Crumb tells Mr. Malik, "Okay, you can return to your class. Thank you." Mr. Crumb just got his head handed to him again, this time by Mr. Malik. Mr. Crumb, not having any solid ground to stand on, tells Kathy and Eddie, "Okay, you can go back to class now." Kathy, who is really ticked off, sarcastically tells Mr. Crumb, "Really? It's that simple. We can go back to our class." "Oh, how nice of you. You call us out of class every week for this sort of bullshit. Your argument today was full of holes so big that a tractor trailer could drive through them. Anyone can see that. You're after me, Eddie, Paula, Braden, and anyone else you can find any little itty-bitty problem with. Make no mistake about it. This time, I'm after you. Don't you even think for a second that this is the end of this. The next time you even look at me, I'm going to have my father and his attorney shove barbed wire up your constipated ass. I'm just sick of your bullshit and your weekly shit shows already." As Kathy stands up getting ready to leave, Mr. Zunde laughs and tells Kathy, "Please advise me as to when that will happen. I would like to be there to see that myself." Abruptly changing her tune and attitude, Kathy smiles and tells Mr. Zunde, "Gladly. I wouldn't let you miss it for the world. And we'll make sure Mr. Fraser is there to see it too. We can throw a party and get pizza afterwards. Eddie also mentions we should invite Braden. Whenever an ass kicking comes down, he's usually close by." Kathy replies, "Yeah. We can't leave Braden out." Kathy takes Eddie's hand and storms out of Mr. Crumb's office. As they pass by, Mrs. Marlowe smiles and whispers to them, "Kathy 2, Mr. Crumb 0. Here are your passes for class." They take their passes and overhear Mr. Shapiro tell Mr. Crumb, "I think she might be a little pissed off at you." That was certainly the understatement of the day. Kathy and Eddie leave the administration area and take the long way back to class. Eddie mentions to Kathy, "Shove barbed wire up his constipated ass. That was really funny." Kathy tells Eddie, "Well, he's full of shit. It might do him some good." Eddie tells her, "Hopefully, we won't hear from him for a while." Kathy replies, "I'd better not hear from him. Actually, on second thought, I hope he suspends me. It's still warm outside, and I have a pool to swim in." Eddie mentions, "If he suspends you, he'll suspend me too." Kathy rethinks this and tells Eddie, "Well, after the clothing thing, I don't think he's going to try to suspend us. That's just too bad." Eddie mentions, "Never underestimate that idiot. He simply can't be trusted." Kathy replies, "Hmm, your superpower." They then head to their classes. Eddie returns to Miss Starr's class just as it is ending. When Eddie walks in, Miss Starr asks, "Well, were your socks too short?" Eddie replies, "No. I fixed a car over the summer." Miss Starr asks, "Seriously? Is that it?" Eddie replies, "No. Kathy put a compass in her car." Miss Starr comments, "You've got to be kidding me." Eddie tells her, "It was just another deep sea fishing expedition. Unfortunately, for Mr. Crumb, he caught a shark. Kathy ripped him to shreds." Miss Starr tells Eddie, "Wow. I'm sorry I missed it. That must have been fun to watch." Eddie tells Miss Starr, "Mr. Zunde was there. He can probably give you all the details." Miss Starr suggests, "Maybe, someday, I can have the class write a paper on memorable encounters when in high school. It would be interesting to hear what really goes on around this school." From the class's reaction, the students kind of like that idea. Many of them probably have some interesting stories to tell. Eddie takes his seat, just in time to get today's homework assignment. At lunchtime, Kathy fills everyone in on Mr. Crumb's latest witch hunt. Kathy talks about what happened in a comical manner, but everyone can tell that Mr. Crumb is really beginning to stress her out. Today, however, everyone sees that Kathy has had enough. Mr. Crumb is no longer treading on thin ice. He has fallen through. With Kathy now on offense and Mr. Crumb on defense, Kathy is not likely to hear a peep out of Mr. Crumb anytime soon. When Kathy gets home, she fills her parents in about Mr. Crumb's latest failed attempt at suspending her and Eddie. Kathy informs them of every last detail, including the barbed wire fence enema that she promised to Mr. Crumb if he even looks at her again. Kathy's father tells Kathy not to worry about Mr. Crumb. He tells her that he will call Mr. Crumb tomorrow and, in no uncertain terms, will tell him to jump in a lake. Kathy's father informs her that what Mr. Crumb is doing is harassment, and if there are any further instances, an attorney will be involved. Kathy is very happy to hear that. Eddie and Kathy work out a few more times that week. By the end of the week, Kathy is still not at 100%. Kathy's mother called the doctor again because Kathy is more tired than usual. The doctor said that it's not unusual for what Kathy is experiencing to follow a course of antibiotics. Kathy is doing her best at working out, knowing that the track season is right around the corner. Eddie is also doing his best. At 6 feet, 3 inches, and 240 pounds, Eddie has certainly made a lot of gains working out. Kathy is catching up. At 6 feet tall, 175 pounds, and solid as a rock, no one can claim that she has been slacking off. Kathy now takes pride in the fact that she can physically kick Mr. Crumb's as if she wanted to. That is something Braden would dare not miss. Eddie, Kathy, Mark, and Paula decide that, since the weather is warmer than usual, they would go back to the beach for one last visit this year. They could always go through the portal to a beach at another time, but not today. Eddie and Kathy meet at Mark's house. Paula has already arrived, so they are all ready to go. When they arrive, Mark shows Eddie the new gears he got for his bicycle. He now has a 15-tooth and a 20-tooth rear sprocket on the rear wheel, both freewheeling. Mark tells Eddie that he is now ready to go back to the hills of Hawaii someday. They head to the beach and get on the paved path that follows the parkway. Kathy and Paula lead, and the guys follow. They approach the portal and ride right by. A mile down the path, Kathy begins to slow down. She attributes her lack of energy to the antibiotic she took a while ago. Everyone slows down with Kathy, letting her set the pace. Eddie asks if she is all right. Kathy assures him that she is. They make it 2 miles farther down the path, and Kathy has to stop. Kathy tells the others, "I'm sorry. I'm just not myself today." Eddie tells her, "That's okay. We can stop and rest if you want to." This is quite unusual for Kathy, who can ride her bicycle to the beach, wear herself out, and ride home with no problem. Kathy tells Eddie, "This is going to sound weird, but I don't think I can make it." Eddie tells her, "If you want, we can turn around and skip the beach today." Kathy thinks about it for a moment, and then tells them, "You guys go to the beach. I'm not going to be able to make it the whole way. I'll ride home by myself." Eddie tells Kathy, "I'll ride back home with you." Kathy and Eddie convince Mark and Paula to continue to the beach without them. Mark and Paula ride to the beach, and Eddie and Kathy return home. When they come to the end of the paved path, Kathy takes another rest. Kathy asks Eddie, "What's wrong with me? This isn't normal." Eddie tells Kathy, "Maybe it's the antibiotic. You said that the doctor said this is normal." Kathy replies, "If this is normal, I'm never taking another antibiotic again for as long as I live." Kathy drinks some water and is ready to go again. They ride along the road, headed toward Kathy's house. Kathy makes it back to her house without having to stop again, but she is definitely tired. Eddie asks her, "Did you sleep okay last night?" Kathy replies, "Yeah. I slept like a rock. I didn't even want to get up this morning." Kathy tells Eddie, "You know, come to think of it, I haven't been right since I took that stupid antibiotic." Eddie suggests, "Maybe you should go back to the doctor." Kathy tells Eddie, yeah, maybe. But I hate going to the doctor. All they do is poke and prod at you, do all this stuff, and give you pills to take. Kathy and Eddie go inside, and Kathy's mother asks, what's up? Did you decide to skip the beach today? Kathy tells her mom, I couldn't make it. Kathy's mom asks, how do you mean, you couldn't make it? Kathy explains, we got part of the way there, and I had to stop. I didn't have the energy. If I kept going, I don't think I could have made it back home. Eddie mentions, in the last few weeks, her workouts haven't been the same either. Kathy tells her mom, yeah, Ed is right. I am going backwards. Kathy's mom suggests, maybe we should go back to the doctor and see what's up. Kathy tells her mom, yeah, let's do that. Kathy doesn't really want to go back to the doctor, but she also knows that something is not quite right. Kathy's mom calls the doctor and explains what is going on with Kathy. The receptionist at the office tells her to bring Kathy right in. Kathy's mom tells Kathy, good news. They can see you this morning. Kathy replies, can't it wait until Monday? I was hoping for another day off school. Kathy's mom tells her, you certainly are acting like a senior. Eddie mentions, I'm sure that wanting to skip school has nothing to do with Mr. Crumb. Kathy's mother tells Eddie, oh, Kathy's father took care of that problem. I don't think he'll be bothering either of you anytime soon. Eddie asks, how did he do that? Kathy's mother explains to Eddie, this is confidential, but he threatened Mr. Crumb with a harassment suit if the nonsense continues. Kathy comments, it's just too bad that it wasn't a back alley meeting with Guido. Kathy's mom tells Kathy, we need to get ready to go. Eddie and Kathy kiss goodbye, and Eddie heads home. While Kathy is at the doctor, Eddie works out. He is waiting to hear from Kathy, but, after 2 hours, there is no word yet. He figures that, since it is Saturday, the office is probably backed up. After he works out, Eddie works on his MGB for a half hour or so. He almost has everything removed from the engine compartment, so he can clean it, paint it, and begin to rewire the electrical system before he reinstalls the engine. Kathy calls Eddie and gives him the news, or lack of it. Kathy tells him, just like I said, he poked and prodded me. Then, he took half of my blood. Eddie asks, so, he doesn't have any answers. Kathy replies, none. He said he has to wait for the blood test results. That could be almost a week. Eddie tells her, that really sucks. Kathy replies, yeah, I'd say so. But what really sucks is that he told me to take it easy. Kathy then asks Eddie, can you come over and be with me? Eddie tells her, yeah. I'll get a shower and come right over. Kathy tells Eddie, thanks. I love you. Eddie tells her, I love you. Be there soon. When Eddie gets to Kathy's house, he finds her relaxing by the pool. Eddie walks up, and Kathy tells him, the good news is there are no dead frogs in the skimmers. Eddie tells her, good. You checked. Kathy tells Eddie, for some reason, I really think that dead frog is what made me sick. Eddie asks Kathy, are you feeling any better? Kathy replies, I feel like I can ride to the beach, but I also felt that way this morning. So, if I ride to the beach, I'll have to turn around again and come back home. Eddie, seeing a pile of papers on the table, asks, what are you working on? Kathy tells him, I'm filling out my application to college. Eddie replies, wow, college. Kathy tells him, yeah. I'm going to Georgia Tech so that I can re-engineer cars. Eddie replies, asking, really? Kathy tells him, no, because then I'll be too far away from you. I'm applying to my dad's school. I want to get an exercise physiology degree. Then, I can be a gym teacher. Eddie mentions, so, you'll be right around the corner. Kathy replies, yeah. And, Barbara is there, and Paula wants to go there too. Eddie tells her, "So, it sounds like it's going to be one big party." Kathy sighs and says, "Yeah, if I can ever work out again." Eddie reassures Kathy, "Well, they should know in a week." Kathy replies, "Yeah. But until then, I get to be a slug." Kathy continues filling out her application as Eddie checks the pool chemistry. He finds that it is okay and sits and relaxes along with Kathy. Kathy, looking through the course catalog, mentions to Eddie he is a good class. Eddie asks, "What class is that?" Kathy replies, "I'll read it to you. Discus 201. Using the discus as a weapon. In this class you will learn how to throw the discus at the high school principal and get away with it." Eddie exclaims, "You've got to be kidding me." Kathy, with a serious expression, replies, "No. It lists Dr. Zunday as the professor." Eddie replies, "Okay. Now I know you're making this up." Kathy laughs hysterically, telling Eddie, "I had you going for a minute." Eddie tells Kathy, "Well, at least your sense of humor hasn't changed." Kathy and Eddie sit by the pool for a while longer after she finishes her application. Later in the afternoon, Kathy and Eddie remember that it is Saturday and that their families are eating dinner out together. Kathy tells Eddie, "I think I want a nap before we go and eat." Eddie tells her, "That's probably a good idea. You probably need some rest." Kathy goes inside for a nap, and Eddie rides his bicycle home. While Kathy is sleeping, Eddie spends some more time working on his MGB. Later that week, Eddie and Kathy drive to her house after school. When she gets home, Kathy's mother tells her, "The doctor got your blood test results." Kathy excitedly asks, "So, did he find out how come I get tired so easily?" Kathy's mom tells her, "He said your blood counts are all off. He mentioned you have anemia and that you should take some iron and vitamins." Kathy asks, "So, that's why I couldn't ride to the beach that day." Kathy's mom tells her, "That's what he seems to think. He also said it could take a while before you begin to feel better and get your energy back." Kathy asks, "How long did he say?" Kathy's mom replies, "A few weeks, possibly a month or so." Kathy asks her mom, "Okay, so where are my vitamins? I want them right now." Kathy is tired of not being able to work out. She wants to get better as soon as possible and is not wasting any time. Kathy's mom tells her, "I picked them up for you at the pharmacy right after I got the news." Kathy asks her, "Where are they?" Kathy's mom gets the bottles, and Kathy wastes no time wanting to take them. Kathy's mom tells her, "Wait. You need to take them with a meal, not on an empty stomach." Kathy asks, "When's dinner?" Kathy's mom tells her, "At the usual time, around 6. Kathy takes one each of the vitamin and iron tablets and puts them in her pocket. She tells her mom, "I'm not waiting that long. I'm filling my stomach up with pizza, and then I'll take them." Kathy then tells Eddie, "Come on, Eddie, we're getting pizza." Kathy grabs Eddie's hand, and they run out the door. Eddie and Kathy get to the pizzeria and order Kathy's favorite. While they are waiting, Kathy tells Eddie, "Wow. After I went through all that, all I needed was a few vitamins and some iron." Eddie tells her, "Remember, they said it could take a while before you get better." Kathy tells Eddie, "Yeah, but now I'm going to get better 3 hours faster than I would have if I waited for dinner." Eddie mentions, "You could have had a snack at home." Kathy tells him, "Yeah, I know. But I just wanted to get out of the house. I've been laying around all week waiting for the stupid test results." Eddie replies, "Yeah, I can see that. You were out of the house like real fast." The pizza arrives, but Kathy is bummed because she has to wait a minute for it to cool off. After the pizza cools off a bit, Kathy takes a slice and begins eating. Kathy finished her first slice in record time. She takes a vitamin and iron tablets and says, "Okay. Now I'm on the road to getting better. Eddie tells her, good. You can slow down now. Kathy replies, yeah. I don't think I gobbled up a slice of pizza that fast in my life. Eddie and Kathy enjoy dinner together, talking about the upcoming track season. Kathy is just happy to get the vitamin into her stomach. For some reason, vitamins sound a whole lot better to Kathy than does an antibiotic. On the way home, after dinner, Kathy tells Eddie, okay, so now I'm one day closer to being better. Eddie tells her, maybe it's my fault you're not better. Kathy asks, how is it your fault? Eddie tells Kathy, maybe I haven't been giving you enough kisses. Kisses make things better. All of those little kids can't be wrong. Kathy tells Eddie, I don't think that's it. Kathy quickly reconsiders and tells Eddie, no, wait. Yeah, that's it. I should have guessed. You'd better get started, buddy. Kiss me until I'm all better. All those stars in the sky. We'd definitely better get busy. We're taking the long way home today. Kathy takes a detour and finds a park that is sparsely populated. Kathy has found a very long way home for today. Kathy and Eddie escape from the world for the next hour. They totally get lost in each other, not caring about anything other than what they are feeling right now. As far as Kathy is concerned, her summer is back, even though it's only for an hour. Eddie's warm embrace lets Kathy know that he's right there with her as she gets better. Time escapes from them as the sun begins to set. Kathy tells Eddie, okay. I'm beginning to feel better already. They both know it's not from the vitamins, but from the love they have for each other. Kathy and Eddie are both now taking vitamins. Eddie still takes the amino acids, methylfolate, and vitamins, which help with his athletic performance. After another visit to the doctor, Kathy is told that she can work out again, but not to go at it too hard. This is exactly what Kathy has been waiting to hear. She starts working out again with Eddie, taking it slow to begin with. With the end of the autumn semester drawing near, and the indoor track season right around the corner, Kathy doesn't have much time to get back in top shape. Over the next few weeks, she gives it the best she can. The end of the autumn semester always brings a few special activities before the Christmas break. This year, Mr. Crumb is again the recipient of a few Christmas presents during the annual gift exchange among the teachers. The mystery Santa has struck again, leaving two presents for Mr. Crumb in the teacher's lounge where the annual Christmas party is held one day after school. Mr. Crumb, opening one of his presents from the mystery Santa, is shocked to find a box of tampons inside. Many of the teachers laugh at Mr. Crumb and his unexpected present. Mr. Crumb, however, is not the least bit amused. One of the teachers whispers to another, "This looks like fallout from that pussy factory thing last year." Opening his second present, Mr. Crumb is appalled to find two bras inside. It's not hard for anyone to figure out that the bras have something to do with Mr. Crumb's spat with Kathy and Paula earlier this year regarding their clothing. The laughter continues, but Mr. Crumb is not the least bit entertained. After the party, Mr. Crumb goes back to his office and stews. Giving him a little credit, Mr. Crumb is able to figure out the link between this year's thoughtful gift of a box of tampons and Mr. Bogenskaya's reference to his pussy factory last year. He is also able to clearly see the link between the bras and his mistaken belief that Kathy and Paula were wearing bras, not gym tops, under their shirts earlier this year. Thinking back to the prior year, when Mr. Crumb received a screwdriver set and a bag of marbles, he comes to the conclusion that someone is clearly out to get him. Further thinking leads Mr. Crumb to realize these gifts started arriving when Eddie and his friends entered the school. Regardless of who gave him the presents, Mr. Crumb has decided that Eddie, Kathy, and Paula, and the rest of their friends, are somehow to blame. Mr. Crumb spends the rest of the semester analyzing the handwriting on the tags, comparing it with that of every teacher in the school. He comes up empty-handed, not being able to figure out who found it so amusing to embarrass him in front of the entire faculty. Mr. Crumb strongly suspects that Mr. Fraser or Mr. Zunday might have something to do with the gifts. Casual observance, however, reveals that the handwriting on the tag is likely that of a female, nothing like the handwriting of Mr. Fraser or Mr. Zunday. Anyone else, however, could easily figure out that the gift giver would likely have disguised their handwriting. When Christmas break arrives, Eddie and Kathy spend every day with each other. They have decided to take a few days off from training. Hopefully, Kathy will be fully recovered when it is time for indoor track tryouts. After Christmas break is over, it will be pedal to the metal for the entire next semester. But today is a day to relax and hang out. On Christmas Eve, Kathy drives to Eddie's house right after lunch. The snow that has fallen in the last few days has stopped, and the roads have been cleared. Not even knowing whether Eddie is home or not, Kathy thought she would drive over and surprise him. Kathy knocks on the door, and Eddie answers. Eddie exclaims, "Wow! This is a surprise. How did you get here?" Kathy walks inside and tells him, "They cleared the roads, so I just drove here." Eddie tells Kathy, "My parents are doing some last-minute shopping at the mall. They just left a few minutes ago. I was about to call you." Kathy tells him, "Put your jacket on and come outside with me." Eddie asks, "What's up?" Kathy tells him, "You'll see." Eddie and Kathy walk outside together. Kathy tells Eddie, "Just look at your front yard." Eddie looks at the front yard, which is covered with snow. Before he can say anything, Kathy tells him, "We're building a snowman, Edward Bogenskaya." Kathy starts rolling a snowball, which gets bigger as she pushes it around the yard. Eddie pushes it with her as the snowball gets bigger and bigger. Kathy tells him, "Okay, now we got to push it over there," as she points to the middle of the yard. They get the snowball, which has gotten to be quite huge, to the middle of the yard. Eddie is about to walk in front of the snowball, and Kathy exclaims, "No. Don't walk there." Eddie asks, "How come?" Kathy tells him, "It's a surprise. I'll show you after we're done with the snowman." Eddie and Kathy begin working on the second snowball. They push the snowball around the yard, being careful not to make it too big. Once it is about the right size, they push it near the bigger snowball. Kathy tells Eddie, "Okay, now we lift it." They give it a try, but it is way too heavy for them to lift. Kathy and Eddie, with all their strength, couldn't even lift it together. Kathy tells Eddie, "I think we made it too big. What do we do now?" Eddie tells her, "I have an idea. I'll be right back." Eddie runs inside for a minute and returns with a samurai sword. Kathy asks, "Wow. Where did you get that?" Eddie tells her, "It's my samurai sword. I use it sometimes for landscaping." Kathy asks, "Okay, Samurai Eddie, what are you going to use that for?" Eddie tells Kathy, "We're going to cut the snowball in half and lift half of it at a time." Eddie takes careful aim at the snowball. He raises the sword and yells, "Eddie, chop," cutting the snowball in two equal halves. Kathy exclaims, "Wow. That was great." But Eddie's 20-inch samurai sword was not long enough to cut the whole snowball in half. Eddie and Kathy cut the other half of the snowball and now have two equal halves. They pick up one half of the snowball together and place it on the larger snowball. They then take the second half and place it carefully on top of the first half. Kathy tells Eddie that was a pretty cool way to solve that problem. Kathy tells Eddie, "Okay, now we make his head." Eddie asks, "How do we know it's a he?" Kathy tells him, "Because it's a snowman. If it was a she, it would be a snow girl." Eddie replies, "Oh yeah. I guess so." They roll the third snowball around the yard, and when it gets to the right size, they lift it and place it on top. Kathy tells Eddie, "Okay, now we're decorating it." Kathy looks around the yard for stuff to make the eyes, nose, and mouth. Eddie, in the meantime, is off playing in the snow, making another snowball. When Kathy returns from the side yard, she sees Eddie still working on the snowman. Kathy walks up, and Eddie tells her, "Look, we now have a snow girl." While Kathy was away, Eddie made another large snowball, cut it in half, and added breasts to their creation. Kathy starts laughing hysterically, telling him, "That's so cute. I've never seen a snow girl before." They finish their masterpiece, which is probably the largest snow girl around. Or perhaps the only snow girl around. Kathy tells Eddie, "Now, we're going to make snow angels in front of our snow girl. That's why we couldn't walk in front of the snow girl before." They lay in the snow, side by side, and make snow angels together. Kathy and Eddie make 4 snow angels in total. Kathy tells Eddie, "Now, we have to get back to our snow girl without messing up the rest of the snow." They manage to get back to the snow girl and walk around the yard and down the driveway to the road. Looking at their snow girl and snow angels from the road, they see their creation as everyone will see it as they drive by. Eddie tells Kathy, "Wow, that's really cool." Kathy gives Eddie a kiss, telling him, "Look, our very first snow girl, visited by 4 angels." They stand there for a while, admiring their artistic talent. Kathy mentions, "I hope there's something warm to drink inside." Eddie tells her, "We have hot chocolate, but we'll have to make it." They head inside, where they'll warm up every way they can. Mid-afternoon, when everyone else is still gone, Eddie tells Kathy, "There's a Christmas present for you under the tree." Kathy asks, "How can there be? Santa Claus hasn't come yet. It's only Christmas Eve." Eddie tells Kathy, "Oh yeah, that's right. I guess we'll have to wait until tomorrow before you can open it." Kathy gets up and runs to the Christmas tree. As fast as she got to the tree, it's no surprise that she's a sprinter. Eddie tells her, "Hey, it's not Christmas yet. That was a false start." Kathy tells Eddie, "You can't make me wait now." Kathy then tells Eddie, "I'll be right back. Don't go anywhere." It's not like Eddie is going to get on his bicycle and ride away. Kathy runs out to her car and gets Eddie's Christmas present. When she returns, Eddie gives Kathy her present, telling her, "Merry Christmas, sweetie." Kathy removes the wrapping from her present very slowly. Eddie and Kathy could have run a 220-yard dash in the time it takes Kathy to unwrap the box. Once she gets the wrapping paper off and opens the box, she removes the cotton over the gift slow enough to convince anyone that she'll see what's inside by next Christmas. Kathy looks inside and finds a golden heart-shaped pendant with the inscription around the heart that reads, "One kiss for every star in the sky." Kathy exclaims, "It's beautiful. Oh, sweetie, it's so beautiful." Kathy then tells Eddie, "I'd better start catching up." Kathy gives Eddie a kiss, followed by many, many more. With only a few billion more to go, they'll be busy for a while. Kathy then gives Eddie his present. She tells him, "I didn't make your present this year. I sort of bought it." Eddie shakes the box gently. Kathy asks, "Can you guess what it is?" Eddie tells her, "It sounds like there's a chain inside." Kathy tells him, "You'll never guess what it is." Eddie shakes the box again, trying to figure out what is inside. Kathy tells him, "Okay, you'd better open it up before you guess. I want it to be a surprise." Eddie unwraps the present, which he does a little faster than Kathy opened hers. Inside, Eddie finds the chain he suspected was in the box. But hanging on the chain is a unique pendant, which is a miniature replica of a discus. Kathy tells Eddie, "Read the back." Eddie reads the back, which is inscribed, "You say it best when you say nothing at all." Eddie tells his sweetheart, "Sweetie, I love it. It's beautiful." Eddie asks Kathy, Where in the world did you get this? Evading the question, Kathy tells him, it's the only one in the whole wide world like it. Eddie will have to wait for another day to find out where Kathy got his present because Kathy successfully avoided answering his question. Eddie embraces Kathy, and they hug each other. Christmas is again very special for both of them.